Greetings. Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead preaching pastor here at Believer's Church. Each week we gather here at this time to rewind our previous Sunday's message. This time we do it in a small group dialogue, in the discussion dialogue, to seek application in and through our lives. So immediately following this broadcast, we have several small groups that are meeting throughout Dunn County and beyond to discuss and engage this message for and through our lives. If you are with us locally, you're probably tuned to our radio broadcast from Street Level Radio, 101.7 FM, and if you're further away, you may be watching our internet stream or even our regional TV broadcast. But no matter how you got here, we're glad you did. Our message this last week was a topic a lot of Acts 5, and our text was that of Ananias and Sapphira in a message entitled Keeping Up Appearances. Let's get into it. If you wrote out the ingredients this morning of your own hearts, if you wrote out the ingredients this morning of your own mind, that which is listed on your label, what would you, yes, what would other people learn about you by reading it? What would be the first ingredient listed? Would you be able to call yourself Jesus flavored or Jesus filled? What would your packaging say? Would it match your ingredients? Or would you be like the Pharisees, merely whitewashed tombs? At the end of chapter 4, if you're a student of the book of Acts, at the end of chapter 4 here in Acts, we saw what was an awesome expression of unity and love within that early church. They were exploding. It was the good days, the salad days of that early church. There was a pouring out of the Spirit of God on that church. The people, they understood and they embraced the directive that Christ had given them as true disciples, as followers. They had to deny themselves to pick up the cross and follow Him. Two of the most famous of these pretenders, again, is this duo, Ananias and Sapphira. Whenever the subject within the church and often outside, whenever the subject comes up of lying and cheating and short-sheeting God, withholding truth, attention-seeking, when these things come up in the church world, so do the names of Ananias and Sapphira. But they sold some land and they came and they were going to give the money to the church, but they held part of that back. And that would have been just fine. And Peter said that. It's like, dude, that's cool. You could absolutely do that. It was your money. It was your land to do with as you wish. Now, indeed, they may have said no to a compelling voice from God to give of themselves, to give of their material resources. And that may have indeed been a sin for them. But the nail in the coffin came not because they kept back part of the sale of the money, but rather because they feigned that they had given it all. And the penalty in this stark example we need to note this morning, the penalty in this stark example was not a slap on the wrist or some sort of firm talking to. The result was death. That's about as extreme as it gets. Ananias and Sapphira, they attempted to fake their commitment. They were attempting to deceive the church, to deceive God, and to deceive the world at large. And listen, I got to tell you, that shows an absolutely fundamental lack of understanding
of the person of Jehovah God. Certainly, as a lack of understanding of our relationship with Him, because this is often the case. Peter saw through it. Now, maybe indeed this light, quote unquote, came to him supernaturally. I don't know. Maybe these kind of attempts are just that transparent. Because, you know, people just don't realize that there really is no hiding. And gang, I know that I'm no prophet, but I got to tell you, I am factually seldom surprised. Usually it's, well, of course. So you need to know this morning. We see you. We see you. He sees everything. And furthermore, he actually expects us to hold to the agreement that we made with him when we said, "Yes, Lord," to him. In salvation, I say, "I repent," or turn away from my old path. I agree to walk in obedience to the Lord who's brought me and bought me out of my slavery. And he actually expects us to follow through with that. Because being reborn means that I have died. I am a new person. I am reborn. And so if I live the way the old person lived, you know why that is? Because I'm still the old person. Why do we have trouble understanding such a simple concept? I have to tell you, after 35 plus years of ministry, if it's taught me anything, it is that eventually, every time, the day will come when that person will show their hand. A week, a month, a year, a decade. Sooner or later, they show their hand. Worst thing of it all is we are feigning throughout it, we're feigning to others that we're actually all in. They count us. After all, we wouldn't want anyone to think we're not fine, upstanding Christians, right? So we come to church and we put on. I mean, after all, if people really knew what was going on in my marriage and in my house and in my home and in my heart and in my mind, oh, what would people say?
You know, I think the most miserable of believers are those with one foot in both worlds. The folks who are attempting to hedge their bet, to have one eye on heaven and one on earth. They call on the name of Christ, but they still try to find security and satisfaction and pleasure and fulfillment from this world. They're riding the fence, and they're not happy. And the only way to have a real joy is to say a full yes to God, which means saying a full no to the world. James chapter 1, verses 16 through 17 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." The essence of sin is looking for good outside of God and outside of his will. You see, that's how Eve was deceived all the way back. Genesis 3 says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate it." And we stumble today in that same way that she did. When I dig beneath the surface of any sin in my life, I find that I'm trying to get something good apart from God and His ways. And the only good, that thing that I'm after, would be something of pleasure and maybe some security and significance, satisfaction, maybe justice or belonging or comfort, some physical need. And the list really, it goes on and on. But I try in this situation to get it without God. Now on Sunday, I spoke in length concerning the great American tendency to keep up appearances in our lives and in our church participation. We seem to innately know we are not where we should be in our heart and in our mind and in our spirits, yet instead of repentance, we always tend to move to stealth mode, incognito. And we all, of course, want to be liked, we all want to be well thought of, and we will often embellish or spit polish our street cred in order to appear to be more, if you will, than we really are. But you see, there is another power at play here with often equal influence, and that is the seemingly need to cover our faults and to hide our shortcomings. It's sort of like a child's game of playing house, you know, with empty imaginary teacups and lifeless children in the form of dolls. And in our minds, and yes, usually in our spirits, we attempt to look good, but we're not fooling anybody. The reality is that seldom is any one of us that good of an actor, and we always, always will eventually show our hand. Ananias and Sapphira, they're the famed couple of the early book of Acts that sought the adoration and the approval of their churchmates while ignoring the reality that God could see everything. So they held back from God and they paid the supreme cost for doing so. Clearly it was and it is a powerful pull, gang. We know that. That of wanting to be seen by those around us as something more than we really are. And Ananias and Sapphira, well, they pretended to give it all to God and to give it all to their church when in fact they held some back for themselves. You know, a rainy day fund of finances, of passions, of heart and soul. If I were to step back now and look at the timeline of these events in Acts, the whole incident would become so much clearer. Because for just a few pages before this text, there in the book of Acts, there was a real pouring out of the Spirit of God. Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4. People were filled with the Spirit, and they were filled with His subsequent power, and of course the vision that accompanied that, and they knew what they needed to do to manifest the Spirit's possession. It was to deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow Jesus. And that means follow Him wherever He goes, whenever He goes, and however He goes. But in the environment of spiritual abundance and manifest, the enemies of Christ will always surface. The pretenders will always enter the field. You know, I have always been amazed at the plethora of reasons one goes to a church, and moreover, why one goes to a particular church. Now, the list of reasons on this subject is long, to be sure. But the commonality of 99% of those reasons is and revolves around self. It is the me aspect. You know, is it good for me? Does it please me? Does it make me feel good? Is it supportive of me? Does it make me look good? Does it allow me to be me? Some come looking for nice people to keep company with. Some are looking for a spouse or maybe a community club. Some are looking for a social work intervention, you know, food shelf or some material or financial help, maybe some psychological counseling. Some want you to fix their kids. Some come looking for maybe a hedge against hell or to smooth out the bumps of life or to reap the blessings from God because, you know, I'm in church, so now he owes me, right? Because we have been dutiful in this practice. But way down at the bottom of this list is that 1%, and they are those who are in church to actually love and to serve others. We call that body life. They're here to worship God. They're here to glorify his kingdom, to hear from God, to hear from their pastor on matters of life and living. They're here to grow, to expand in their spiritual maturity so as to complete their personal and their corporate mission in this very brief passing through this world. Most of all, they're here to be transparent, meaning what you see is what you get. That doesn't mean that what is being manifest always is good or righteous or pure. It means that they are out there. They got skin in the game. And so warts and all, they're out there on the field of play. Now, we do not want to miss the point of this Acts account that's trying to teach us here. Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't die because they held back part of the money from the sale of their land. Now, that may have very well been a sin for them because they held back something that God had asked them to give. We don't know for sure. But they died because they lied. They died because they pretended to be all in with God and his bride, the church, when clearly they were not. They were hiding. They were pretending. Now, indeed, few of us have laid it all on the table before Christ. He said so in Matthew 7:13-14, where he spoke these words. He said that his way is narrow, and only a few will find it. That means Christianity has never been a broad path that, you know, accompanies the masses in general with their ever-fluid ideals. He said his ways are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he also said that that never changes. So Ananias and Sapphira, they attempted to fake their commitment. They were attempting to deceive the church, to deceive God, to deceive the world at large. And this shows a fundamental lack of understanding of the God that we know and our relationship with him, because it was and is never a permissible path to pursue. Whenever we attempt to hold on to part of this world while still grasping at a measure of spiritual standing, or at least a perception of spiritual standing, we're going to fail to achieve that balance, the balance that we are trying to achieve. Instead, what we do is we merely become lukewarm. We become useless to the spiritual realm. We simply become God's vomit, according to Revelation 3:16, and that vomit will ultimately be expelled from his body, quote unquote. The Bible is quite clear that the only real Christianity is a real and full surrender. Everything on the table, all the way in. Because you see, keeping back is deceptive. Feigning to be, feigning to do, feigning to give, to live in one manner and to live the opposite, it's just simply lying. And as we discussed on Sunday, God has said in Proverbs that he hates lying. Now, as I go on here, I'm reminded of my words from back on Sunday. And that is that Everyone who's listening needs to know that you don't have to be perfect to go to Believer's Church. You don't have to be perfect to participate in this church. You don't even have to be perfect to lead in this church. Because none of us here have achieved that perfection. None of us have arrived. No one here is perfect. We are all simply unfinished projects. However, you do need to turn on the light and turn on the reality of who and what you truthfully are. Because that's the relationship God wants us to have with each other. And certainly that's the relationship that He wants us to have with Him.